Well, hey, let's start out by looking at a collector's car. How about that? Matter of fact, we got a collector's car here, and one of our folks, Gary back there, he won first place up here yesterday in the little the car show that they had for his category. So, yeah. So, sweet little car that he has there. But, you know, here, take a look at this and think about this. This might look really great. And you've gone to, Tori and I, we went to the Corvette show with one of his high school buddies several years ago down in Effingham, and there's all kinds of Corvettes, and they all got the hoods up, and they're all, you know, and they just look really great, and you can look at the motors, and they're all chrome, and they're painted red, and oh, I mean, just everything, and they look really, really great. What if they don't run? What if they don't have any valves or pistons or things like that in them? I'm not a mechanic. What if they don't have, and they just don't run? But they look awesome on the outside. The outside, it looks absolutely great. But the inside doesn't work. Well, what about a Rolex watch? How many of you got one? Hold it up. Some of you might. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't have one. But a Rolex, you know, those watches can be expensive, right? They can be $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 more dollars for a watch. My wife would kill me if I ever did that because I don't know enough to take it off when I get digging in the dirt or something like that, right? So I get in trouble. But if you can imagine a Rolex watch and you can have it, I mean, no scratches on the lens there, and clean and shiny and just beautiful. But it loses an hour of time every other day. What good would it be? What good would a $10,000 watch be if it can't keep time? You see, the problem is not in the band that's on it. The problem is inside. It is not functioning correctly. It's not working correctly, and so it's really useless. And it needs to be repaired on the inside. The same with a classic car, the motor. It could look absolutely beautiful, and we've seen pictures of beautiful cars and things like that. And they may not even run. And so, you know, even though they look great on the outside, they've got to have something. They've got to be repaired from the inside out. Think about it. I've got someone with a Band-Aid on their thumb. You know, we've got some different folks that are fighting cancer. Maybe some are fighting, you know, tumors, or they have found out about different things going on, and maybe your blood work's coming back all messed up and things like that. And, you know, we could think, you know, if you have cancer, or you have a tumor or a problem with your heart somehow, putting a Band-Aid on your thumb is not going to solve the problem. It's much more serious than that. It's much more important than that. And it has to be dealt with in a much more serious way. It has to be dealt with on the inside. It has to be changed from the inside in order to get the outside to be actually accurate and true and right. Now, Solomon tells us, I've been talking a lot about the fear of man, and some will say, well, I'm not afraid of anybody. Well, it's easy to say that, but it's probably not really true. Because you don't have to be a teenager to deal with peer pressure. Probably every one of you, every day, has to make a decision about something or some situation, and you think, what is so-and-so going to think? Or what will my friends think, or what will these coworkers say or think if I do this? So the fear of man is not something that just, you know, it actually has a great deal more effect on our lives than we realize. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was, what Solomon said in Proverbs 29, if you want to look at that, verse 25. This is a great verse to memorize. But it says this, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." The fear of the Lord brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Church, I really believe, and it's hard to maybe for us to see it this way, but we really do need to look at it. I really do believe that the fear of man is a sinful fear, and that it is a fear that influences us in the wrong direction. It can pull us away from God. It can pull us away from relationships. It can lead us in a lot of wrong directions when we're worried about what others think and worried about what they might say or what they might do. And so I really believe that the fear of man, it can be a sin in our lives. It's a sin in the fact that it complicates life. When we're afraid of everything that we do, or witnessing to somebody, or sharing our faith, or all sorts of things, because of what someone will think. You see, that fear, that feeling is taking over your heart and over your life, and it is controlling what you do or don't do. The only thing that ought to be controlling what you and I do is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That ought to be leading us. That ought to be what guides us. That ought to be what directs us. That ought to be what helps us to make decisions and helps us to go in the direction that we ought to go, is Scripture and then the leadership of the Holy Spirit based on that Scripture. Now, listen to me carefully. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do something contrary to the Bible. It will never happen. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to be disobedient to the Lord. If you feel led to be disobedient to the Lord, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's either your own flesh and heart and your sinful nature. But the power of the Holy Spirit ought to be leading and directing the lives of every Christian, every believer. Now think about this. As a Christian, as a believer, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, God begins to change you. He changes you from the inside out. He begins to transform you. When you surrender and you yield your heart over to Jesus Christ and you say, you know what, I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I can't save myself. When we do that and we repent of our sins and we recognize our sins and ask the Lord Jesus to come into our heart and into our life and to sit on the throne of our hearts, guess what? He changes us from the inside out. You know what I see happens a lot of times? Is people try to change themselves from the outside in to please God. To please other people. Well, you know, if I look a certain way or cut my hair a certain way or dress a certain way or act a certain way or go to church or do this or do that, then I'm pretty good. Then I'm doing pretty good. But you see, that doesn't save you. That doesn't change your heart. that doesn't make you right with God. It doesn't transform you. What transforms us is receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior, allowing Him to have control, allowing Him to sit on the throne of our hearts. See, we're used to sitting on the throne of our hearts, aren't we? We're used to having control, and we're used to making all the decisions. And when God finally says, listen, you know what, your sin problem, that's not something you can deal with yourself. That's something that only God can deal with. Only the Heavenly Father has the remedy and the cure for sin, and that is His Son, who He sent to die on the cross for you and for me, so that we could receive the Lord Jesus, what He did on the cross. He didn't do that for everybody else. He did it for you too. He did it for all who will believe on the Lord Jesus. You and I have hope, and our hope is not in shining up the outside. The hope is not, you know, making everything look great. It's not trying to impress other people. That is not where your spiritual hope is. Your spiritual hope is bending a knee and saying, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. And I know I can't do it. I need Jesus Christ to do it. And God does a work. It's miraculous. It's the new birth. You're being transformed from the inside out. God takes a stony heart and makes it a heart of flesh. He changes your want-tos. He changes some of the things that we desire. He will change those so that they will align with His Holy Spirit and His Word. But you see, sin complicates our lives. Sin, it causes problems. It causes problems, first of all, with God. You see, God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and He desired to have fellowship with them, and He did. Every day He walked with them, and sin broke that fellowship. They hid from God. It causes problems. And sin can cause problems in your relationships with other people. It can cause problems between you and your children, you and your spouse, you and your parents, you and your coworkers, you and your neighbors, your friends. Sin is a big problem. It's a huge problem. And it begins in our hearts. And it comes from within. Jeremiah, take your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, I want to share two verses with you, and I know they're familiar to most of you. But in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, look what the Bible has to say. The heart is deceitful above all things. Now, I know that we can all sit here in our church clothes and feel pretty good about ourselves because we're in church. But the truth of the matter is, no matter how you may look on the outside and that you're in a church building, that in itself does not change your heart. The Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked and they're deceitful. He goes on and he says, and they're desperately wicked, and who can know it? Listen, we're all old enough to realize that sometimes our heart, sometimes the thoughts that will come through our minds are like, where in a world would that come from? What would ever cause me to think such an evil thought about somebody or about doing this or that? You see, your heart and my heart, they are so wicked, they are desperately wicked, and we in our human flesh cannot even understand them. That's how bad they are. So we can put church clothes on and we can come and dust off a chair at the church house, but that in itself does not change your heart. Look at verse 10. I, the Lord, look at this, search. I, the Lord, search the heart. You ever have something that you can't find? You ever lose your phone somewhere? Isn't it amazing how important our phones have become to us? You ever lose your car keys or your wallet? I lost my wallet back before Christmas. And I looked and looked and looked and everywhere. The only thing I could think is, I did put lights up on the house a few days ago. Maybe it's up there. Of course, it snowed. So we got the ladder out and I went up there and walked around. And eventually, sure enough, there was my wallet, frozen hard as a brick. But at least no one got my debit card, right? But there it was. But it says here that I, the Lord, search. You see, to me, search is not just kind of taking a quick look or whatever. No, God searches our hearts. And He knows the wickedness that's in them. The Lord searches the heart. And He says, look at this, I test the mind. I test the mind. That is your motives, your thoughts, all of the things that go along with your heart. What is driving you? What is motivating you? What is leading you and directing you? He says, I search the heart. That's not just a casual glance. That is moving the couch cushions and looking around. God searches your heart. And He tests your mind. He challenges your thinking and your mind, and His Holy Spirit will put questions on your heart and your mind that you cannot answer. How can I be right with God? Or what more can I do? Or how do I change that? And He tests the mind, and so even God, He knows your thoughts. He knows your intentions. He knows everything about you. And it says He does these things. He searches your heart. He moves the cushions around in your heart. And He looks under the chair of your heart. And He looks, on the cabinet. And He looks hang on the hook on the wall. God is searching your heart all around. And He's testing your mind. He's giving you challenging things in your life, and He's asking questions, and He knows. You see, you might fool everybody else at church and at work and in your family, but you cannot fool God because He knows your mind. And it says, even, look at this, why is God doing this? Why? Even to give every man according to his ways. I don't know about you, but I don't really want everything according to my ways. I do not really want everything that I deserve. Matter of fact, I don't want anything that I really deserve. Because if God gave me what I really deserved, I'd split hell wide open today. So I don't want what I deserve. But He says He's doing all of these things, and He's looking according, look at this, to the fruit of His doings. You see, God is at work in every single one of us. He's speaking through His Holy Spirit. He's speaking through His Word. Even the fact that you are here today in this building, that's a work of God. It's not an accident. It's not because you got up and chose to be here. It is God working in you. It is His challenging your heart. He's convicting your mind, and He's working on your heart, and He's bringing you here so that you can hear His word, so that you can know how your heart can be transformed from the inside out. So many are trying to change from the outside in by doing good things and by, you know, no. That's not how we're changed. We're changed from the inside out. Surface change will not fix it. The same as with that car, surface change and, you know, putting some chrome in there and painting the motor red and whatever else and putting some fancy wheels on and so forth, it's not going to change the fact that the motor doesn't run. Putting a new band on that Rolex watch is not going to change the fact that it does not work properly. It has to be fixed inside. There's a problem inside. Putting a Band-Aid on your finger when you have a cancer or you have a tumor or you have a heart blockage, it's not going to change that. It's not going to solve the problem. The problem has to be dealt with from the inside. The problem has to be dealt with by coming clean and open and honest before God. Behavior problems. Last night, we were sitting around, the boys were watching, and I was watching it as well. I don't know, you ever watch Live PD? It's where the police, it's live. Some people are just really dumb. I mean, the police, is they're there, you're pulled over, just shut your mouth. And don't argue. And they try to tell the dumbest lies. Really do. But we have a heart problem. And you see, a sin problem comes from a heart problem. The reason you and I sin is because we have sinful hearts. It's because we have a sinful nature. Even if you're a Christian, you still have a sinful nature. You have a new nature in Christ. You're in Christ. You have a lot of things going for you. But you also have that old sin nature that you're always battling and you're always fighting. And so a sin problem is a heart problem. And I take you to Matthew chapter 15 and look at verse number 19. Matthew 15 and verse number 19, for out of the heart, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, that's lying, blasphemies. Those all come out of the heart. I want to close this morning by telling you a little story about a farmer. There was a farmer, he had a lot of fruit trees on his property. And he really had an awesome reputation of being able to raise really great fruit. Wonderful trees, and I mean, people would come from miles around to his apple orchard and just to check it out. And I mean, everything was just perfect. But this farmer, he had, out of all of the fields, I mean, he had tremendous apple orchard and things happening and so forth. But he had one tree that was driving him absolutely crazy. It did nothing but produce rotten fruit. The fruit on it didn't look right. Didn't have the right color, had bruises type, looking on it and all of that. So all the apples, they'd eventually fall off, but they were terrible. And he was like, man, my reputation, everybody knows that I have a wonderful farm and all, and now what's going to happen? And so one night, because he was afraid of what others would think or say, and that his reputation of his farm would be destroyed. And so he decided he would go out, and in the cover of darkness, he picked every apple, bad apple, off that tree, put them all down, got them all off. And he went to one of his other trees and he just got baskets full of good-looking apples. And he took them over to the tree and he tied them all on. He tied all the good apples on the bad apple tree. Now let me ask you a question. Is that going to solve the problem? No. And a lot of you laugh and you chuckle at that story. But you know what? There's a lot of people out here in this world. Might even be a few in here. That think that somehow if they do this or do that or whatever, they'll be able to fool everybody else and everything will be okay. No one will know. When we try to work and earn our way and polish ourselves up and make it impressive so that it seems as though we're right with God, that's as foolish as that farmer tying apples on a tree. It did not change anything. And sooner or later, the truth was going to show up. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Some of you here, I don't know, because I've never point blank asked or, you know, had that opportunity maybe just to sit down with you privately and talk with you about where you're at with the Lord. Whether you have ever received Him as your personal Savior or not. I want you to know something, that God loves you, God cares for you, and it is no accident that you're hearing this message today. It may be that your heart is pounding in your chest harder than ever before. That's not this preacher doing that. That's the Holy Spirit of God convicting you and letting you know that the apples that are on the tree are just tied there. They're not real. It hasn't been changed. You have not been transformed from the inside out. Your heart is not transformed yet. You're still doing things your way. You're still trying to please God your way, or trying to please other people your way. But I'm telling you something. The only way to have eternal peace and happiness is through Jesus Christ. I shared with the men yesterday a good thought. The only way to cover your sin is to uncover it. You see, that's the only way we can really cover our sin, is if we uncover it before God and ask God to take care of it. You ever have a conflict with somebody and it just gnaws at you and eats at you and bothers you until you go and you talk with them and you work it out? And then it's such a relief, isn't it? It is. It's such a relief. And you see, that's the way it is. Before you receive Christ, you're always under conviction. You're feeling that guilt. The Holy Spirit's always after you. And God is just saying, would you just open your heart and receive me as your Lord and Savior? It's a free gift of salvation. Why do we try to earn it? You can't earn it. So I don't know today. I don't know necessarily why this is the way the message is going, but I know that there's people that are unsure of their salvation. I know that. And I believe God working. He's working in your heart and in your life. And I just ask today, would you be willing to surrender? And I say, Lord, I need Christ as my Savior. I need to come clean. That's the way your sins will get covered. Proverbs 28:13 says, when we cover our sins, we'll not prosper. It's when we confess our sins before the Lord, then we're clean before the Lord, and then we can do right. You know, remember as a kid when you did something bad? You don't remember? I bet your parents do. But as a kid, you did something bad, right? And you knew it. And you were just kind of like, never sure if mom and dad knew or not. Right? I don't know, you know. And then mom and dad says something and it's like, oh, do they know? Do they know? And you're just always uneasy. And then all of a sudden, one time, you find out. Mom and dad tells you, you know, I know you were sledding off the barn roof. I know you threw that apple at that Corvette. These are all things that have happened to me. So once you find out that they know, don't you feel relief? Even if you're grounded for 10 years, you feel relief that you're clean now. Listen to me, my friend. That's how it is with salvation. You feel so relieved that you're right with God. I don't know why it's so hard for us to understand that, but it is. Would you stand with me this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment or two. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I asked you a question, and some people are like, well, Pastor, why do you ask the question? It's a hard question. Well, the reason I ask the question is because a lot of times people will tell me the fact that you ask that question is why I receive Christ. So this morning I ask a question, and it's a really simple one, I think. If you're here this morning and you know beyond any shadow of a doubt, if you have one doubt, do not raise your hand. But beyond any shadow of a doubt, you know for sure that you're saved, that you're a Christian, that you're right with God, and that you'd go to heaven today. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony to Christ and what he's done for you? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now, some of you, you're honest, and I appreciate that. And so does the Lord, because you're not fooling me. You may fool me, but you can't fool the Lord. But some of you, you aren't able to slip your hand up because you don't know for sure. Would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I do not know for sure that I'm saved, but would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Slip it right up so I can see it. Okay. Thank you. Some of you this morning, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You've never done that. Some of you maybe need to really pray for lost loved ones that you have. Some of you, maybe you've kind of strayed. You know you're a Christian, but you've strayed away from the Lord. You know you're not where you need to be. God's speaking to you. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Some of you, maybe the Lord wants you to be a part of this church. I don't know what decision you have to make today, but I only ask that you do what God puts on your heart. Don't do something to please the pastor. You do what God wants you to do. And if you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your Savior, that is the most important thing. That needs to be at the top of your list of things to do. Father, as we come before you today, I thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given to us. I thank you for each and every person that is here. Lord, I do not believe it's an accident that any one of us are here. I believe you have intended for each one of us to be here. And God, I pray that you would take these words from this message this morning and that you would apply them to our hearts. Lord, if we are tying apples on the tree, trying to please others or trying to fool you with our real spiritual true condition, then Father, I pray that you would reveal that to us, that you would convict us of that. Father, I pray that if there would be some here this morning that do not know you as Lord and Savior, then God, I pray that you would give them a holy boldness, that Father, they would be willing to step out the aisle and come down and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. Lord, I pray that you would do that work. And we will show them from Scripture how they can know you. Lord, I pray for backslidden Christians that you would help them, that they would lead the way, that they would, Lord, have a desire to get right with you. I pray for other believers, Lord, that they just need to come and pray. Lord, they love you. They're serving you. But, Lord, they have a burden for souls. Lord, I pray that you would just help each one of us to do what we should. Lord, I pray if there's some that need to be baptized, Lord, I pray that you would help them to be obedient to you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.